John chapter 5, we're going to start right there at verse 1. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, I'm just excited about this message. It's been something that's been stirring in my heart over the last couple of weeks, and now I get to share it with you as I meditate in the Word, and God leads me what to preach. Amen? Amen. We're here to hear a word from heaven here tonight. Amen. Regardless of what you know, someone wants to preach. How many of you know we get instruction from the Holy Ghost? Amen. That we want to hear what's on the Father's heart in this hour. Amen. If you want to go over there to John chapter 5, I'm going to probably be reading primarily tonight out of the Amplified Bible. If you don't have an Amplified Bible with you, that's okay. We will have those scriptures up on the screen for you. Tonight, I'm just going to call this message, Are You Serious About Your Help? Are you serious about your help? Amen. Some of you are looking at me like, oh boy, we know we're in for something here tonight. Are you serious about your help? There's a lot of folks that aren't serious about their help. They want a shortcut version. They want a drive-through version. But how many of you know that God's not serving in the drive-through? Amen. He's not wanting to feed you for a day. He doesn't want to change your life for a day. He wants to change your life for your entire life. Amen. For a lifetime of His glory manifesting in your life. We'll go over there to John chapter 5. I'm going to start reading here in the Amplified Bible, right in verse 1, and how Jesus dealt with this man who was in a condition for 38 years at the pool of Bethesda. Praise the Lord. Let's just dig right in. The Amplified Bible says in verse 1, it says, Later on there was a Jewish festival, a feast for which Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem a pool near the Sheep Gate. This pool in the Hebrew is called Bethesda, having five porches, five alcoves, colonnades, doorways, or we could say pavilions. In these lay a great number of sick folk, some blind, some crippled, some paralyzed, or the Amplified says shriveled up, waiting for the bubbling of the water. For an angel of the Lord went down at appointed seasons into the pool and moved and stirred up the water. Whoever then first after the stirring up of the water stepped in was cured of whatever disease which he was afflicted. There was a certain man there who had suffered with a deep-seated and lingering disorder for 38 years. 38 years. I haven't even been on this planet for 38 years. And this gentleman is going through the Amplified says, a deep-seated disease. So we know that he is going through a massive trial in his life. And it's been there for 38 years. We're going to learn about where this condition came from and how it got a hold of this man. Let's keep reading here. Verse 6, it says, When Jesus noticed him lying there helpless, knowing that he had already been a long time in that condition, Jesus said to him, Do you want to become well? Now, the King James Bible says, Wilt thou be whole? But look at the last statement here in verse 6 of the Amplified Bible. It says, Are you really in earnest about getting well? Or you could say it this way, are you serious about your help?
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Are you serious about your help?
Yes.
And what Jesus means by that is like, are you absolutely determined to have a solution to this crisis or this trial or to this disease?
Yes.
So that's where we're going to get the title tonight. Are you serious about your help? Because, you know, there's a lot of people that they come to church, they sit in the chairs, but they're not serious about receiving from God. I tell you what, it takes a level of seriousness. It takes a level of not willing to go without if you're going to receive from God. Amen. I tell you what, if you're okay, if you're willing to cope, God will let you cope. If you want to cope with a condition, God will let you cope with a condition. He let this man cope for 38 years. God wasn't moved just by the duration of it. He wasn't moved just because it was 38 years.
That's right.
Oh, we're going to see this. But Jesus said, are you really in earnest? Are you really serious about getting well or get your help or getting your answer? In verse 7, the invalid answered, Sir, I have nobody when the water is moving to put me into the pool. But while I am trying to come into it myself, somebody else steps down ahead of me. Jesus said to him, Get up.
Yeah.
Pick up your bed. Your sleeping pad and walk. Oh, I love that. Oh, I'm sorry someone cut in front of you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that someone got your blessing. You know what I mean? Oh, I'm sorry that somebody else got what was rightfully yours.
Come on.
Glory to God. Jesus said, Get up.
Get up.
All that there's that insensitive Jesus again. Yeah. There's that insensitive Jesus. I tell you what, if he ministered in the 21st century American church, they would just deem him mean and insensitive and not understanding, without sympathy, all these things. I mean, Jesus looked at a man who had been sick. I mean, think about that question. Are you serious about getting help? He's been laying next to that pool for years trying to get healed.
That's right.
You know what I mean? And what a insensitive thing it would seem like to the natural mind for Jesus to say, "Are you really want to get help? If you really want help, then you get up."
Yeah.
If you really want this blessing from God, then get up and do something.
Yeah, come on.
I love that. I love that. There's that insensitive Jesus again. You know when I say that, I don't mean that. You know that I'm being sarcastic. That people, you know, would deem that insensitive. But how many of you know that sensitivity and help are two different things? People would accuse a lot of ministers. Don't you misunderstand the difference between boldness, right, and sensitivity? Just because someone's bold with you, praise God, you need somebody in your life that's going to be bold with you. I don't know about you, but I don't need somebody in my life always patting me on the back. And I need somebody that's over me, someone that's going to speak into my life. If I step out of line, I need someone to get bold with me. You know, if I'm sitting around whimpering or whining or complaining or something like that, I need someone to tell me, hey, get up.
That's right. Amen. Good.
Get up.
That's right.
Stop whining about it. Stop talking. Stop making excuses. Stop telling me why you didn't get your blessing. Jesus said, get up. This man, well, this is why I didn't get healed. This is why I didn't get blessed. Somebody else was always getting their healing. Somebody else was always getting their blessing. Somebody else was always getting what I desired. Jesus said, get up.
Get up. That's good. I love it.
Get up.
That's good.
Anyway, that's not my message. Maybe I should have named this message, get up. Get up. Pick up your bed and walk. Instantly the man became well and recovered his strength and picked up his bed and walked. But that happened on the Sabbath. So the Jews kept saying to the man who had been healed, "Is it the Sabbath? And you have, or is it? It is the Sabbath. You have no right to pick up your bed. It is not lawful." And the man answered them and said, "The man who healed me and gave me back my strength, he himself said to me, 'Pick up your bed and walk.'" Praise God. They asked him, "Aren't you glad that man decided to do that?"
Oh, man.
Aren't you grateful for the perfect omission that there was no verse in there that said, well, then the guy said, "No, I can't."
Yeah.
I've seen people that have come into healing lines, whether with myself or other guest ministers, Dr. Dufresne and stuff, they'll come into the minister and the minister will tell them, "Go for a run."
Oh, yeah.
And they'll say, "I can't."
Yeah.
If they would have just stepped out and started making the first steps, their crawl would have turned into a walk, their walk would have turned into a run.
Yes.
Amen. I'll tell you what, you got to obey that spoken word of faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad that this man would say, "Well, I've been here 38 years, I've never walked. Why do you think that this day is going to be any different?" He knew something was going to be different.
Yes.
He got up, he picked his bed up, and he walked. Amen. Glory to God. And when he moved, that power met him.
That's right. That's
hallelujah.
Right.
That power met him. Amen. But the Jews were ticked off, and they asked him in verse 12, "Who is the man who told you pick up your bed and walk?" They're so mad about it. Now the invalid who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had quietly gone away. He had passed on unnoticed since there was a crowd in the place. Afterward, when Jesus found this man in the temple, the man that he had healed, he said to him, "See, you are well. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who made him well. For this reason, the Jews began to persecute, annoy, torment Jesus, and sought to kill him because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father has worked even until now. He has never ceased working. He is still working, and I too must be at divine work." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's just jump into this, shall we? Take a look back up there at verse 14. Here, let's just get a little prerequisite knowledge here. We start to see what was going on. Notice it says Jesus told this man who had been lying in this condition for 38 years, he said, "Stop sinning." So now we start to see something about this man's personal life outside of this encounter with Jesus. That this man was openly violating the Word of God.
Yeah.
This man was conscious of his own sin before the Lord. He knew that he was violating God's principles, and yet he was still seeking help.
Yeah.
He still wanted the healing. He still wanted the blessing, right? He still wanted a miracle. However, there was unconfessed sin in his life, right? He had violated his own conscience.
Yes.
He knew he had no confidence before God.
Right.
He knew that he was out of the will of God as he laid there, but yet he still wanted the miracle from God. So we start to see what was going on. And notice what Jesus said to him. Jesus said, "See, you are well. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you." Now notice what Jesus told this man. He said, "Your condition is in direct correlation to your known disobedience."
Yes, that's right.
He said, "As you knowingly disobey God, this condition is getting worse and worse and worse." Wow. That's heavy duty, isn't it? So Jesus is giving us a look into this man's personal life, that this man is defiling himself before God. This man is knowingly defiling himself before God, but yet he still wants the miracle. Boy, if that doesn't describe a lot of the churchgoers of 21st century America, right? Where people, they will go to church, they will have the good attendance policy, you know, they'll be faithful to be there, but outside, they're not living the way they know they should. And they're wondering why they're not getting the miracle. They're wondering why the blessing isn't coming. Folks, how many of you know you can't just look for a shortcut way?
Right.
Notice what Jesus is telling us. Now go back up there to verse 6. It says, "When Jesus noticed him lying there helpless, knowing that he had already been a long time in that condition, Jesus said to him, 'Do you want to become well? Are you really in earnest, or are you really serious about getting healed?'" See, this is what was going on here, folks. This man was seeking a shortcut.
Yeah, yeah.
He wanted an outward shortcut solution to an inward heart problem.
Come on. That's you.
Are you serious about getting your help? Jesus was there, and he's telling us what this man's real problem is. The real problem in this man's life is not a 38-year disease.
Right.
The real condition that's going on is that he had heart issues. He had refused to get right with God.
That's right.
Wow.
Yes.
I tell you what, you can spot somebody when they're serious about getting their help. People that are serious about getting their help, they would rather have a correct heart before God than to receive the miracle. Come on, get a hold of this.
Yes.
What they'll do is that you'll see someone who's truly repentant, somebody who truly wants God's help, someone that truly wants to sell out to God, they will care more about adjusting their heart than the outward circumstances that they're facing. Come on now.
Right.
Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what. And you need to know those people that are around you, your closest associations in your life. Are they people that are more concerned about getting their heart right, or are they more concerned of getting through the trouble?
Oh, come on.
And I tell you what, you need to know those who are close to you, who are in that boat, right?
Yeah.
Amen. They're people that they just want the circumstances to go away. They just want the trouble to go away. I'll tell you what, when somebody truly wants to be restored, if someone has fallen into a lifestyle of sin and they want to come back to God, you will be able to see and you'll notice sincerity.
Yes.
Amen. Because it'll be about their heart first.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. You'll tell when somebody's serious about work, you know, getting their marriage restored. You'll know when you know, if the man, if he's the one having the trouble and he says, "All right, I'll go to church." But if he just goes and sits in that chair thinking that, "Okay, I will appease her, I'll give in to her request, that will make my marriage better." No. He's doing that for an outward sign.
Yeah.
He's sitting there in the church thinking that sitting there is going to make things all better, when that won't make things all better. He's going to have to make adjustments in his heart. He's going to have to talk to God. He's going to have to repent before the Lord. He's going to have a relationship before the Lord.
Yes.
Some people, they're just trying to, you know, they're bouncing from healing line to healing line.
Oh, come on.
Oh, they're just waiting for one healing line to the next healing line. And praise the Lord, notice what Jesus did. He healed this man even though the man was in sin.
Yeah, sure.
He healed this man on credit.
Yeah.
God healed him just by the intentions he was making to change his life. How awesome of God. God will, it's like a loan.
Right.
God will not, you know what I mean. Do you understand what I'm saying here?
Yes.
Believe me, he has purchased for you redemption. He has purchased for you healing. He has given it to you already. He paid for it with Jesus, but I'm just making an illustration here. You know, when you take out money from a bank, you are intending on paying it back. Because they wouldn't give it to you unless you made intentions to do something about it, right? Here, that's exactly what God did for this man. He had intentions of getting his life right, so Jesus healed him. How awesome and how good of God. Hallelujah. But what so many people fail to understand, when you receive miracle, when you receive healing, when you receive blessing, that doesn't mean that, okay, it's taken care of, I can go back to my old way of life now. It's a sign to you that it's time to go further with God, go higher in God, go deeper in God. A miraculous healing in your life should push you towards God, not push you away from God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When you receive a change in your life, when you receive that blessing, when you receive that job, when you receive that miraculous outpouring of finances, it should push you closer to the Lord. But you'll know someone who's serious about their help. Because when they're serious about their help, they don't give up on God because what they want finally showed up. There are so many people that will come and go in this church, and they come to this church, and they came here, and they had problems. Life was problematic for them. Everything was going wrong. They came in for a couple months. They sat under the word. The anointing broke the yoke out of their life. And as soon as the problems were gone, they were gone. What were they? They weren't serious about their help. Because they were just serious about getting trouble out of their life. They weren't serious about having their heart right before God, knowing God and pleasing God. Amen. Are you here in church to just get your troubles straightened around, or are you here to know God, to please God, and to walk in the divine plan that God has for your life?
That's it.
Hallelujah. I'm not here to get my troubles resolved.
That's right.
I'm here to know the Father. I'm here to please the Father.
Yes.
I'm here to know Him and to obey Him and to find out my divine destiny so that the body of Christ will fulfill her call.
That's right.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When Jesus noticed him lying there helpless, he says, knowing that he had already been a long time in that condition. Notice, Jesus was not moved by the 38 years.
That's right.
He was not. Jesus could not heal him based on the 38 years alone.
That's right.
Again, we said this last Sunday. God does not care how desperate you are. God is not moved by how desperate you are. He's not moved on how bad the situation is. He does never compares your trial to someone else's.
Oh, good.
Aren't you glad? He never says, well, they're going through more than somebody over here is going through, so I better heal them, I better bless them. God never compares your trial to somebody else's. He's not moved by the intensity of the trial. He's not moved by desperation. He's not moved by whether you've been facing it for a day or for a year or for 50 years.
Right.
He's never moved by any of those natural details. He's only moved by faith.
That's it.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Notice what Jesus is saying here. He says, are you really serious about getting your help? You know, he said, knowing that he'd been in that condition for a long time, he said, do you want to become well? Are you really serious about getting your help? Notice it wasn't Jesus' decision whether that man gets healed. Jesus basically asking him, are you ready to be done with this?
Yeah, sure.
Are you ready to be done?
Yeah.
There's some people, they're just not ready to be done with things in life. And it's not just a matter, it doesn't just pertain to sickness and disease. It can pertain to depression.
Yeah.
It can be pertain to suicidal thoughts. Yeah. Are you ready to be done with it?
Yes, come on.
Are you ready to get victory over it?
Yes.
You know, it could be depression. It could be anxiety. It could be wrong conduct in a marriage. It could be any of these things. Are you ready to be done?
Yes.
Some people, you know, they hold on to grudges, they hold on to unforgiveness, they keep going around the same mountain over and over, you know. Are you ready to be done? Are you ready to give up that, you know, that anxiety? Are you ready to give up that grudge that you have against somebody? Are you ready to just be done with it?
Yeah.
I love how Jesus said that. He said, I know you've been in this condition for a long time, but it's your decision, not mine.
That's right. Yes.
It is not Jesus' decision whether or not you get healed.
That's right.
It's not Jesus' decision whether you walk in peace or not.
That's right.
It's not God's decision. It's your decision.
Yes.
God didn't say, I'm ready for him to be done. Jesus didn't say, I'm ready for him to be done. Jesus said, are you ready to be done? And as soon as you're serious about being done with that crisis,
yes.
That's when God's going to move. When you get serious about it.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We need to get a hold of that.
Yes.
We need to get a hold of that.
Yes.
Well, you know, there's going to have to come a time when we get we're done with poverty.
That's right. That's right.
Just done with it.
That's right.
I'm done with being in debt. I'm done serving the lender. I'm done with it. I'm done.
That's right. That's right.
I'm just done.
That's right.
I'm ready to be done, Lord.
Yes.
I'm done with this pain in my body.
That's
I'm done with the depression that's coming in my mind. I'm done with suicidal thoughts.
Right.
I'm done with treating people wrong.
That's
I'm done with these bad attitudes. I'm done with the complaining. I'm done.
Done with.
You know, I'm done with my neediness.
Yeah. Good.
When are you going to be done with your neediness? I'm done with being needy.
Good.
I'm done being high maintenance. I'm done running out there and contacting 15 people about a thought that just went through my brain. I'm done getting on Facebook to find 25 people and just to find somebody who will nurse my condition.
Done with all that.
Some of you have come to me and you wonder why I don't respond to you, because I'm not going to make invalids out of you. You send me message after message after message, and guess what? Have you noticed that I don't send you a reply? Have you noticed that? Pastor, are you saying that you're ignoring me? Yes. Absolutely, 100%. I am purposely ignoring you.
Yes. Come on. Hey, that's helpful.
Because what I'll do for you, what I'll do to you, if I start responding, oh, well, you know what to do, honey. No, hear this, take this, take this, do this, do this. And you go through it, and there's some people, they're just not ready. I'm not going to lend you my counseling when you're not ready to be done. Because what they'll do, they're throwing the bait in the water, trying to get the pastor on the hook. But do you care? 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 Some of you, you're making spiritual invalids around of people around you, because you're always letting them. That's kind of a weird word, I guess. I'll skip that word.
Come on.
Well, honestly, I was just gonna say you're letting them nurse on you.
Yeah.
I know that's weird.
Yeah. Hey.
But it's true.
I
tell you what, I'm not here to let you stay in a baby condition. The Bible says, do not remain spiritual infants.
That's right.
Because you have an enemy, regardless if you're a baby or a full-grown adult. The same enemy that the full-grown adults have are the same exact enemy. The same ruthless devil against spiritually mature people is the same ruthless enemy that comes against spiritual babies.
That's right. That's right.
If I allow you to stay in that spiritual infant state, you will not be prepared to handle that ruthless enemy. He's ruthless. He doesn't care how old you are in the Lord.
He doesn't care. Come on.
He doesn't care how spiritual you are. He comes against the babies with equal, if not more, force than he does the spiritually mature.
That's right.
And so what you do when you're just constantly, you know, it's one thing to help somebody who's young in the Lord and you mentor them and you tell them the word, but when they keep coming back with the same thing, same thing, same thing, same thing, yeah. It's time where you say, okay, it's time to swim on your own.
That's right.
I've used that illustration before. I was telling you, I remember several months ago, I was in Canada and my wife and I were taking a couple of days up in Niagara Falls, and the hotel we were staying in had a swimming pool, and this was, I don't know, how many, a year or two ago, I don't know if this was this past winter or the winter before, but anyway, Timothy was 2 or 3 years old, and we were swimming in the pool, and how many of you know with a 2 or 3 year old in a 5 foot pool, you got to hold on to him, and Timothy was laying across my arms, and he's kicking and paddling and splashing. How many of you know that that isn't a weird thing when he's 2 or 3 years old? But what if Timothy was 16? And people come in, and I have a 16-year-old across my arms, you know, who's fully functioning 16-year-old, you understand. And I have him across my arms. I'm saying, okay, kick, son. Kick, son. And every year we go to that hotel, and I'm going through the same thing. How many of you know there's a time where I'm going to have to drop out my arms, let him swim on his own?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
because that's what's going to make you stronger. So I said all that to say, are you done being needy? And I'm not saying that because we have an overly needy congregation. We really don't. Because you folks understand that when you come to church, you get your help here. This is like your spiritual grocery store. You take the food off the shelf, you do the cooking at home. You know?
Amen.
You know, you got to have to understand the pastor, the associate pastor, is, you know, their wives, the pastor's wives and stuff, they're not going to be there when the service, you know, when you get home tonight, I won't be there waiting for you.
That's right.
Aren't you glad? Wouldn't that be weird? If I raced out ahead of you and you came walking through your door, you threw your keys, you know, you hang up your coat or whatever, and, you know, you're getting ready to sit down and you come around the corner in the kitchen, I'm like making a peanut butter jelly sandwich. I'm saying, oh, here I am again. Here I am. I'm here to help you. I have a peanut butter and jelly with a crust cut off.
Yeah. Oh, man.
With some graham crackers and milk for you, sweetheart. No, there comes a time when it's one thing when someone's new to the church, they're just newly saved. How many of you know you have to care for the young ones? You got to care for them. You nurture them. But when they've been in church, I'll tell you what, I grew out of being a spiritual infant in less than a year.
Yeah.
Less than a year about getting serious with God. Within 1 year, I went from a spiritual infant to a spiritual adolescent in 1 year. In 1 year. I remember being new in the Lord, and I can't to this day remember that I ever, you know, called or you know, got a hold of my pastor in some kind of desperation to ask him 500 questions. I don't recall that. I just don't recall that. Now, when I say this, please don't misunderstand me. I am in no way saying, congregation, stay away from your pastor. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that there's going to come a time when you're going to have to grow out of neediness.
Oh, yeah.
There comes a time when you stop being the one that's cared for all the time.
That's right.
There comes a time when we switch over from being a demand into a supply. I've decided I'm not going to be a demand anymore. I'm going to be a supply. I bring something. I'm not here to take something away. I'll tell you what, God blesses those that bring something to the table, not taking away something from the table. Hallelujah. Now, does that mean that if you're going through something that you couldn't seek your pastor or another church member to have them agree with you in faith? We need to agree with each other in faith. I'm talking, though, that neediness that will suck the life out of you. Do you know what I mean? That they'll just keep coming back over the same thing, coming back. Listen, if I give you homework, if you come meet with me, you will have homework to do. And the next time we get together, if that homework is not done, I'm not meeting with you anymore. When God gives you spiritual homework, He expects you to do it. What was Jesus saying here in verse 6? All right, buddy, time for some spiritual homework. Now, I will heal you by credit. But you're going to have to understand that this miracle is going to have to produce a lifestyle change from you. You're going to have to get up. You're going to have to grow up.
Yes, absolutely. That's right.
For 38 years, this man was a spiritual infant.
Yeah, right.
38 years. You know you're a spiritual infant when you spend 38 years backslidden into sin. 38 years backslidden into sin. Not one time did he grow in his maturity with God. Basically a spiritual infant, and Jesus said, listen, you better grow up, you better stop sinning, or else something worse is going to happen to you, because babies do not handle the battlefield very well.
No.
You're in a battlefield, and you are the same arrows that are flying at me are the same arrows that are flying at you. Come on now. And you need to understand that. Oh, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, anyway. Praise God. You know, the doctors aren't going to decide when you're done with the sickness. Do you know that? The doctors aren't going to decide when you're done. The psychiatrist isn't going to decide when you're done with the weirdness upstairs. You know what I mean?
That's right.
You are going to have to decide that you're done.
That's right.
The doctor doesn't tell you when the sickness is over. You tell the sickness when it's over. Hallelujah. You don't wait for peace to land on you like some random thing falling out of a tree on your head or something.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
You don't just hope that it hits you today. You're going to have to make a decision. Today I'm walking in peace.
That's right.
Today no one's troubling me out of my peace with God.
That's right.
Do you know that there is, Jesus said, in the world you'll have trials, you'll have trouble, you'll have tribulation.
Yeah.
He says, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world.
Yes.
He said, but be of good cheer.
That's right.
Be of good cheer.
Yes. Good cheer.
That is your assignment, to stay in good cheer.
Yeah. Amen.
He said, but wait a minute. But Lord, don't you see what's going on in the economy? Don't you see the pain that's in my body? Don't you see the thoughts that are racing through my mind? Don't you see this problem and that problem? Lord, don't you see? You know what the Lord said? Be of good cheer.
Yes.
I've overcome the world. I love that verse. That's John 16:33, by the way. And the Amplified says, he said, I have... Can we bring that up? Can we bring up John 16:33 in the Amplified? I love what this verse says in the Amplified. Jesus says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. That is the life we're supposed to be living.
Absolutely.
Perfect peace, perfect confidence. Now people will say that and they'll start to interpret that as that I'm supposed to live a life that never goes through a trial. No, that's not what it says. It says you're supposed to live in perfect peace and perfect confidence. Trials never make you unique. There's nothing different. There's nothing unique about a trial. There is no trial such as common to man. Anything you've gone through, someone's gone through it worse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't make you unique. Doesn't make you an individual. But what does make you unique is when you stay in perfect peace and confidence. He said, in this world, on the planet we live in, on this rock, you'll have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. He said, but be of good cheer. I love that. Be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident. Be certain and undaunted. For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you. And I have conquered it for you. Hallelujah. He deprived.
Yes.
He starved the world's power from hurting you.
Yes.
That's why I don't think twice about the economy. The jobs report comes out. Shrug my shoulder. Say, well, pastors got to be concerned because that, you know, people having jobs and it's going to affect their congregation. No, it does not.
Yeah, right.
It does not.
Amen.
It will not affect the provision that flows to this church. We are not on the earth's economy. I've been off the earth's economy for several years now.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Since 2004, when I became a tither, I got off the earth's economy. I got on God's economy. Amen. And besides that, I'm a Christian. I have Jesus on the inside of me. I have the overcomer on the inside.
Yes,
he
yes,
deprived
yes,
the
yes,
world of any power
right.
that would harm me.
That's right.
Of any power that would harm me. Economic,
oh, yeah.
sickness,
oh,
disease,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
depression, anxiety, poverty. Right. He deprived it all.
Right.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Jesus said, are you done? You ready to be done with this condition? Verse 6. Let's go back there. He said to him, are you serious? Now look at verse 7. And the invalid answers, sir, I have nobody.
Come on.
But I have nobody. That's what he says.
Yeah.
No, I'm just pointing you out that the same scenarios that arise 2,000 years ago in Jesus' time, people are no different. Yeah, we have more technology and stuff today, but people and the things they face, it's still the same. God is still the same. His word is still the same. It's just the same deal with a different package,
oh, yeah.
right? It's, just,
oh, yeah.
it's the same thing. And Jesus is dealing with the same kind of issues that any minister deals with, right? The invalid answered, sir, I think it's very interesting. Who made him an invalid? Himself. But anyway. That invalid there, I'm not talking about the physical condition necessarily. I'm talking about his heart issue. I'll tell you what. If you know there's something in your life that you have to confess before God, you will remain a spiritual invalid as long as that thing goes unconfessed.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, he said, sir, I have nobody. Well, we better heal him now. Is that what made Jesus heal him? Jesus never even put him in that water.
That's right.
The guy said, I don't have anyone to help me. The reason why I'm going without because no one is here to help me. My pastor isn't here. My temple congregation isn't here with me. The disciples aren't here. Those Pharisees aren't here. Think of all the things. He's like, I have nobody to help me. As if it was somebody else's fault.
Yeah, right. Sure.
I'll tell you what. When are you going to realize? When are we going to have the big epiphany moment where we say, where we give up? We give up that mentality.
Oh, man.
Sir, I have nobody. This guy was looking for an outward shortcut to an inward heart problem. He thought that there was a man somewhere that could take upon his spiritual responsibility for him. There is no man anywhere that can take upon you or take upon themselves your spiritual responsibility. I cannot take upon myself your faith projects.
That's right.
I won't.
That's right.
I'll agree with you in faith, but I won't do your praying for you.
That's right.
I won't. Neither should you do the praying for somebody else.
That's right.
Is any man afflicted? What does it say over there, James 5:13? Is any man afflicted? Let him pray.
That's right. Yes.
We can agree in faith together. I agree with people all the time. I agree with people all the time in my personal prayer life. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
People will ask me, Pastor Tim, will you agree with me? Will you agree with me? Yeah, well, I'll agree with you right now.
Yes.
But I tell you what, you can tell when people, they come up to you, Pastor, you got to pray, you got to pray, you got to do this. And I see what they're trying to do. They're trying to dump their spiritual faith project off on me. I won't take it.
Yeah.
Don't you take somebody else's spiritual faith project unless they don't know Jesus.
Yeah, okay.
You pray for the lost. You pray to get the lost born again and stuff. That's a spiritual faith project.
Yes.
But if they know Jesus and they're just trying to, and they know that they want prayer, they want help, but yet they themselves have no intentions of praying, first thing I'll ask about, well, what are you praying about?
Right.
What scriptures are you standing on?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Are you going to church? Are you learning the word? Are you confessing? Are you using faith? Are you speaking? Are you praying? No, I wanted you to pray. I just need, if you pray, I know God hears you. No. You cannot dump your spiritual responsibility off on somebody else. You can have somebody agree with you, right? And I, like I said, there's just people that they're bouncing from one healing line to the next. You know, how many of you know that God's power is tangible?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you can get into a healing line, and because God's so merciful, I mean, you'll go in that healing line, and even if your life is totally messed up,
that's right,
you'll get healed.
Amen.
You'll get blessed. But then how many of you know a couple weeks down the road, guess what comes back?
Yeah, sure.
See, God's power can get you healed, but it's going to be your decisions, it's going to take a lifestyle change to keep you healed. Amen. It's going to take an influx of the feeding of the Word of God. It's going to take a relationship with God.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Sir, I have nobody. When the water is moving to put me into the pool, but while I'm trying to come into it myself, somebody else always steps down in front of me and gets my blessing. Praise the Lord. Are you ready to get serious about your help? Are you ready to be done with neediness? Are you ready to be done with an excuse that says that somebody else is the reason why you didn't get blessed? There's going to have to come a time where you say, no. It's me and it's God.
Yes.
He's no respecter of persons. He's a respecter of faith.
Yes.
When I speak to him, when I release my faith, he will hear me.
Yes.
He will hear from heaven. Hallelujah. He will bestow upon me the petitions that I come before him.
Yes, that's right.
I'm not going to come before God and try to act desperate to get him to move. I'm not going to remind him of how long the trouble is going. I'll tell you what. I know this in my personal life. If there's something in my life that faith is not taking care of, I look at my heart.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
I'll go into my heart. If for some reason, if there's pain in my body and I'm using my faith and I'm confessing the word and I'm standing on faith and two weeks goes by and that same pain is still in my body, I go in and start searching my heart.
Right.
You know why? Because healing works.
That's
the
right.
Word works.
It works.
And I know this, that if there's a connection that's not being made, it's not on God's side.
Yeah.
Amen. It's not because of a lack of desire or the will of God. The will of God is that we be healed, right?
Yes.
That we be healthy,
oh, yes,
that we be wealthy,
oh, yes,
that we be in complete and perfect peace.
Yes. Amen.
So if I know that there's something not making the connection, I know it's on my side.
Oh, yeah.
And I start going through my heart. Now, that doesn't mean I start trying to find something to blame myself over. But I start asking God, God, is there somewhere where I've opened the door? God, is there somewhere where I've violated peace in my heart? Was there something that you told me to do that I deliberately left undone? How am I treating my wife? How am I acting in my home? How is my integrity? I start looking over my life with a fine-tooth comb. You know, I'm not saying that I get into self-condemnation, but I know this. Faith works, healing works, the Word works, and if something's not working, I go into my heart. I start searching my heart. Glory to God. Why? Because I'm ready to be done. I'm serious about my help. Glory to God.
Amen.
Now let's keep reading here. Let's go down there. Where are we? We're in verse 7. Let's go keep reading. Jesus said, get up, pick up your bed, and walk. Instantly the man became well. He recovered his strength, picked up his bed, and walked. But that happened on the Sabbath. Now notice, he walked for the first time in 38 years. Glory to God.
Amen.
So the Jews kept saying to the man who had been healed, it is the Sabbath, you have no right to pick up your bed. He answered, then the man who healed me and gave me back my strength, he himself said to me, pick up your bed and walk. They asked him, who is this man? So on. In verse 13, now the invalid who had been healed did not know who it was. Verse 14, we read this verse already. Jesus found him in the temple. He said to him, see, you're well. Stop sinning. Stop disobeying God. Get into obedience, or something else worse may happen to you. The man went away, told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. For this reason, the Jews, look at verse 16. For this reason, the Jews began to persecute, annoy, torment Jesus, and they sought to kill him because he was healing on the Sabbath day. Murder was more acceptable to the Pharisees than healing. Wow. You know you are spiritually deceived. And I'll tell you what, you need to beware of those who will not rejoice around you when God blesses you. Here this man has been in a condition for 38 years. He steps up. He does what the people asked of him. The Pharisees asked him to tell him, who was it that healed you? And he said, it was this man who healed me on the Sabbath day. And instantly they sought to kill Jesus because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Murder was acceptable to them. I'll tell you what, here they should have rejoiced with that man. They should have rejoiced with that man. They should have praised God. They should have glorified God. Instead, they held to their dried up dead religion. They were more concerned of protecting their own rhetoric, protecting their own reputation. They were challenged. They didn't want this 30-year-old Nazarene to take away their thunder. They were filled with pride. They were filled with religion. They were filled with hate and all these things. I tell you what, you better know and mark those around you who will not rejoice with you. There are people that will not become my personal close associations if they don't know how to rejoice. Amen.
Come on.
They will not be in my you know, and you should know the same too. You should not bring someone into your personal acquaintance who will not rejoice when God blesses you. Come on now. I mean, it's just real simple, isn't it? I tell you what, if they won't rejoice with you, it's because they are jealous of you and they want to take away what God has given you. And they want it for themselves. I tell you what, don't you ever find yourself in that place where you won't rejoice for or with somebody when they get something you want. I've said it 100 times, I'm going to say it again. When someone else receives the blessing that you yourself have been believing for, that is your opportunity to where you decide whether or not you qualify for that blessing. If you're believing God for a child and someone else gets a child, guess what? What should you do? Rejoice with them. Right? If you're believing for a job and someone else around you gets an awesome job with great pay and benefits, guess what? That's your opportunity to rejoice with them.
That's right.
You should rejoice with them, because if you don't, you will fail to qualify for that same blessing. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Yes. If someone gets, you know, you're believing for a new vehicle, they get the vehicle. If they're, you're believing for a house, but someone else gets the house. You're believing for something, you know, whatever it is. And someone else gets it and they tell it to you, it is time to rejoice.
Yes.
Because we see what dried up dead religion does.
Yes.
Isn't that amazing what religion will do? Isn't it weird that, you know, people would come and visit our church and they would accuse us of being a cult? Because we raise our hands and praise God. Yet they themselves will be down at the bar stool at happy hour. See, that's the sign of a reprobate mind. Do you know what a reprobate mind is? It's a mind that's been twisted to believe that evil is good and good is evil.
Yes, 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 yes.
That's what a reprobate mind is. And you better know those around you if they have a reprobate mind. Meaning, if they themselves, they would criticize your praising God, but yet they themselves will go gamble at a casino somewhere. They got a reprobate mind. They'll criticize, oh my goodness, they'll criticize you for speaking in tongues, praying in the Holy Ghost, but they themselves curse and blaspheme God. What is that, a reprobate mind? They think what's coming out of your mouth is evil and what's coming out of their mouth is just fine and justified. It's reprobate. Oh, come on. People will accuse you. You know, we get knocked down by the power of God, and people will see someone laying on the floor being worked on by God, you know, and they'll think that's weird, wild, and crazy, but they themselves, what are they out doing?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, they'll think that that's evil. Well, they themselves are out sinning and defiling themselves about. Come on now.
Yeah, you're right.
You see what that does, and that hate, that spirit of hate, that spirit of anger, that spirit of jealousy, that pride, it consumed the Pharisees. And it twisted their mind into such a reprobate mind that they thought that healing was evil and murder was good. Oh, see, that's why I don't criticize.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, there's certain things that we know are right and wrong because the Word says so. But even when I see, you know, you would never see me up in front of this church. I never criticize you know, I will never name drop. I don't name the name of a ministry or something like that. Even when I know there's a lot of things going on in this town that aren't right, I don't take my position in the pulpit and start, you know, hammering out names of ministry and things like that. Because I tell you what, you better be careful about criticism. You better be careful about criticism. Anyway, let's keep reading. Look at verse 17 and we'll end here. Verse 17 says this, "But Jesus answered them, Now, here's Jesus' explanation for why this man got healed. And this is what is going to encourage your faith here tonight. Jesus answered them, he said, "My Father has worked even until now. He has never ceased working. He is still working, and I too must be at divine work." I love that verse. Because this is what we need to walk away with tonight. I'll tell you, every time if you have hands laid on you, whether you've had hands laid on you or not have hands laid on you, whether you've just believed God with a confession of your faith, the thing you need to know is God is working.
Yes. Amen.
God is working. Yes. Hallelujah. I love this. This man had been healed, and these people are trying to get an explanation. Why did you do this on the Sabbath day? Jesus said, God's working.
Yes.
God's working. God's working. Ephesians 3:20, that God is able to do exceedingly above all that you think and that you ask for.
Yes.
According to the power that works in you.
Yes.
According to the power that does work in you.
Yes, yes, yes. That's right.
Hallelujah. If you're a tither, your tithe is working for you.
Right.
It's working. Yes. Glory to God. Healing in your body, it's working.
Yes.
That's what you need to say. That's what Jesus said. He said, "My Father, he works, and he still is working, and he never ceases working."
That's right.
Glory to
That's
God.
Good.
And he says, "And I too must be at divine work." Glory to God. I love that.
Amen.
Do you know why Jesus never got sick? You know why Jesus always walked in health and prosperity and healing? He was never for one second out of the will of God. Never one second.
Amen.
Notice Jesus said, "I too must be at divine work." Meaning, whatever God called him to do, as long as he obeyed it, he was always cared for.
Oh yeah.
Same goes for us. We could say that too. And I too must be at divine work. Because if I'm in the place where God called me to be, if I'm doing what I know God called me to do, if I'm working the job he called me to work, if I'm pursuing the relationships I'm supposed to pursue, if I'm in my local church where I'm supposed to be at, if I'm being pastored correctly, if I'm receiving the word of God, if I'm, you know, in the right place, the provision will flow to you. The health and the healing will flow to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Because when you're in the right place, When you're in the right place, it will flow. It'll work.
Amen.
That doesn't mean you couldn't go through a trial. But that trial just won't be able to overcome you. It won't be able to stick to you. How many of you know the devil tries to throw things at you and to see if it sticks? And whether or not it sticks is up to us. Hallelujah. But Jesus answered him. He said, my Father has worked even until now. He's always been working. He's never ceased working. He's still working, and so am I.
Yes. Amen.
Glory to God.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Would you have a financial need? Guess what? God's working.
Yes.
You have a family need? Guess what? God's working. You have a trouble in your marriage? Guess what? God's working. This is what needs to be coming out of your mouth.
Yes.
You have a local business? God's working.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Right.
Believe in God for a child? God's working. Believe in God for healing in your body. God's working.
Yes.
That's what you need to say when people ask you about that. So how's that, how you feeling these days? God's working.
Yes.
How's your business doing? God's working. How's your church doing? God's working.
Yes, good.
Hallelujah. So how you handling that situation in your marriage? God's working. How's that thing with your kids going? God's working. How's that thing going in your financial trouble? God's working. God's working. He never stopped working. He will always be working.
That's right. Amen.
And now it says that God's still working and the power works in you according to Ephesians 3:20.
Yes.
Worketh in us.
Amen.
I've had people come to me and say, Pastor, I've been tithing for a year and it's not working. Well, then you're calling God a liar. What, so did you put an expiration date on the tithe? Is that what you did? Is that why you're telling me that it's not working after a year? Because somewhere in your mind you put an expiration date on it? In your mind, when someone said that, they had a discrepancy somewhere. Somewhere in their mind they said, it will work, you know, I better see it within this time frame or else it doesn't work. You thought that the plans and promises of God expired like milk? Do you think like you turn over Malachi 3:10 and you're looking for that little stamp of the date?
Yeah.
Good until July 16th, 2012, you know?
Yeah.
There's no expiration date on the word.
It works.
People say, I've been confessing healing. It's not working. No, then God must be a liar because there's no expiration date on Matthew 8:17. There's no expiration date on Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. There's no expiration date. It didn't expire. God didn't stop working.
That's right.
You stopped speaking.
Ooh.
You stopped talking right.
Yeah.
You stopped your faith.
That's it.
God didn't stop working. Your faith stopped working.
That's it. Yes.
You cannot enter into faith with some kind of preconceived time period.
You're right.
Because you never started in faith.
Yeah.
Because faith believes there's no plan B, there's no condition, it's not gonna fail.
That's right.
There is no failure option. Faith never believes that that failure is an option.
That's right. Good. Come on.
Faith says it will work. It works now. It's working right now.
Yes.
But then someone could say to you, but do you still feel that pain? It don't matter. It doesn't matter what I feel because I don't have to believe.
That's right.
Faith is not based on sight or feeling or emotion. It's based on what you believe.
That's right.
Now, you don't have to go around, you know, people say, well, you know, faith is just the denial of true circumstances. No, we don't deny that circumstances are happening. Of course they happen. They happen to everybody, you know. But how many of you know that you're not led by circumstances?
That's right.
God is working.
Yeah, he's working.
That's all you need to know when someone asks you about that thing. You know, because people are always so interested in your trouble.
Yeah, sure.
Why are they so interested in your trouble?
Yeah, come on.
I'll tell you why. Because they're interested in theirs.
That's right.
People are interested in your trouble because they're so concerned about their own trouble. Yeah. They thrive on trouble. They live on trouble. I see it all the time as a pastor. There's people, it's almost like they're fuel in life. It they just go from one. Life is not, God did not call you to one desperate circumstance to another. It might look like that, but there's going to come a time and say, no, wait. I know all this is popping off and going around me, and so-and-so saying this, and so-and-so's doing this, and this is happening, and this is feeling, and this is all that. No, I'm done. I'm done with it. I'm serious about my help.
That's it.
Amen. Did you get some help here tonight? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. We praise you. Lord, we glorify your holy name. You are so good, so good, so good. Father, we thank you for this account in your word. Lord, we thank you. Bless your holy name. We just make a decision. We're done with it. Whatever it is that we're facing, we're done. Financial trouble, we're done with it. As of right now. Pain in our body, we're done. Lord, we're not waiting for a doctor to tell us we're done. We're not waiting for a lawyer to tell us we're done. We're not waiting for someone to tell us it's over. We just make a decision right now in faith. It's done. We're done with it. We're done with being needy. We're done with being high maintenance. We're done with being a demand, and we're going to be a supply. Father, thank you. Praise you, Lord. We thank you. Father, we thank you for messages like this that help us grow up. That help us grow up. Father, that man by the pool of Bethesda, he said, I have nobody. We ourselves could never claim that. You said you would never leave us, never forsake us. We're never alone. The devil would always try to, I'm going to just say this by the Holy Ghost right now. Everyone listen up. The devil would love to isolate you. Try to get you to feel unique in your circumstances. Try to get you to feel unique in the troubles and the trials that you're facing. Try to get you to feel like you're alone and that nobody else understands. No one understands you. It's a lie. Be done with it tonight. Be done with it tonight. Be done with it tonight. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We just make a decision to be done. Suicidal thoughts. We just say this, we're done with them. We're done. They're a lie. We're done. Father, we do what you told the man to do. We stand up and we say we're done. We're done. We're done about thinking about debt. We're done being concerned about the status of our jobs. We're done. We're not letting those things steal our peace for 1 minute more. And Father, we praise you tonight. We glorify you tonight. We magnify your holy name. You are so good, so good, and so good. Father, we love you, and we love you, we love you. You are so good, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. We're serious about our help. Lord, when we receive your blessing, we understand it's a call into a greater lifestyle with you. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Father, we're not going to look for outward shortcuts. Father, we know that there's people, they jump from healing line to healing line. They ask the pastor to pray over them nonstop. They try to get on every prayer list. They try to push off their faith responsibility on everybody else. Father, we understand we're going to have to seek you and fellowship with you.
Yes.
Father, we thank you for it. Lord, we bless you. We love you. Let's just worship God for a moment. Father, we worship you. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Oh, we bless you, Lord God. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Father. You're so good. We love you, Father. You're so good. So good. Just take a moment and wait upon God. Just worship him right there in your seat. Just tell him how good he is. Just bless him and praise him. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed is the name of the Lord. 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 Father, we praise you tonight. We praise you, we praise you, we praise you. We praise you, we praise you, we praise you. We praise you, we praise you, we praise you. Oh, we glorify you, Lord. Oh, we magnify you. Lord, your word. worship God. Just worship Him. Father, we praise You, Lord. Oh, You are worthy. Praise You, Father. You are so good. We magnify You. We love You. We worship You. You are worthy, Lord. You are holy. Praise You, Lord. Worship You. Wonderful Lord God, we worship You and praise You tonight. We love You, we love You, we love You. Praise You, Father. Ready to take up an offering here in a moment. Just waiting on God. Just because we wait on Him doesn't mean that necessarily anything we're going to do anything different, but just going to spend some time waiting on God. Amen. Got anything? Praise the Lord. Just checking. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and get ready to take up an offering here tonight.